You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Obamagate. It's been going on for a long time. It's been going on from before I even got elected. And it's a disgrace that it happened. And if you look at what's gone on, and if you look at now all of this information that's being released, and from what I understand, that's only the beginning.
President Trump, this is May 12, 2020. President Trump calling all of this Obamagate, connecting the Flynn, the Mueller investigation, all of it together. I don't really like throwing the gate term on a lot of things ever since Watergate, but let it be, aside from that. And the president was making his remarks based on some of the testimony already released from transcripts that had been taken behind closed doors. Now they're being made public. And it is apparent, conversations were going into the White House describing what was going on with the Flynn case. Now, that does not mean President Obama is doing anything wrong immediately. Does not mean that he was orchestrating it or anything, but supposedly they were keeping him brief. Now, you put me in the chair with you, and let's say you're the president, and you tell me, Larry, I like what you're doing, or you just keep doing what you need to do, and you kind of give me a wink, wink. In other words, you're giving me full blow. Go ahead, run, Larry, get what you can. That might be the most they can say Obama did. But we're going to get more out of it. And the Wall Street Journal, by the way, published an editorial because Obama came out the other day when the Flynn case was dropped or just kicked out by the DOJ saying we're not going to prosecute it. He said, well, we're missing the rule of law. And the Wall Street Journal said, why is Obama getting involved in that issue? Has he got something to hide, trying to deflect? I think that's a good question. We're now getting word that the Flynn intel interview is missing, absolutely missing. And we're getting the fact that the director of James Clapper, he either lied, director of National Intelligence, he either lied to Congress or he lied to agents. He insists he did not brief President Obama. Said he did not brief him. The former director, James Comey, said, yeah, Clapper did. Clapper told him. One or both lying, maybe both. And the acting director of National Intelligence now, Richard Grenell, is going to start naming Obama officials who unmasked Flynn. Those inside the Obama White House, DOJ, FBI, who were willing to put Flynn's name out, leak it. It's a violation, but they were doing it because it fit their narrative at the time. All right, today Fauci is testifying, among others, and of course the Democrats are hoping, as he goes to Congress, they're hoping that he's going to contradict everything Trump has said and done and said he's fouled this thing up entirely on dealing with coronavirus. Where are we, by the way, on coronavirus? Worldwide infections, 4.2 million. And deaths, just under 290,000. In the U.S., 1.3 million infections, about 80,000 deaths. So Fauci's testifying. And, of course, they're looking for him to you gotta claim something that Trump did something wrong. I mean, Chuck Schumer, Senator Schumer, had already said, Fauci, when you get in here, let her rip. In other words, give us everything. Sharpen our knives against Trump. We'll bring you up to speed on what Fauci's saying so far. And, of course, the latest evidence of leftist media tactics calling Trump racist. Taking a question, turning it, and because it's asked by an Asian reporter, they're going to say, there's racism. I think she's Asian American, to be specific. We'll get into that a little bit later. And the left, of course, trying to push that the White House is more concerned about dropping the charges against Flynn and the related Comey case being blown apart and the Mueller investigation, as all this information comes out, that they're more concerned about that than dealing with the virus. Of course, they are happy. They're happy to have the virus because it takes a lot of pressure off of Biden right now. And it hopefully would take pressure away for this Flynn and additional information coming out. Not likely. Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation joining us later on Flynn finally getting justice. And Hollywood is, of course, once again stepping forward to attack Trump. Attacking him on the basis that he knows nothing of what he's doing and everything he does is wrong. Everything the man does is wrong. Well, how about those L.A. prison inmates? Decided to start drinking out of one cup of water for all of them, trying to give each other COVID-19, thinking that'd get them released from prison. Were they doing the right thing? Listen, we got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. I appreciate it. Spread the word. Lock and load ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beale Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. It's been a hard day.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This will be one of the first opportunities for Dr. Fauci to tell the American people the unvarnished truth without the president lurking over his shoulder. Dr. Fauci, let it rip.
Let it rip. There you have it. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat in New York, basically trying to have you believe that with the president standing beside him, looking over his shoulder, Fauci has not told us the truth, has not been honest about what's going on with coronavirus, either where it stands, where it's going, or our fight. Really? Really? Now, are you telling me that he would purposely withhold vital health information and change it just to benefit Trump? That's what he would have you believe. So he's saying that he gets to appear in front of Congress, which they've been doing today. They started their doing it by teleconference because of social distancing restrictions. But Fauci is going to be joined also by Dr. Redfield, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Stephen Hahn, Dr. Hahn, the commissioner of the Food Drug Administration, Admiral Garrard, the assistant secretary for health, and reference them, and particularly Fauci. Chuck Schumer says, unlike until to now, we mostly heard from the members of the coronavirus task force through the distorted lens of the White House press conference, where the president often prevents them from answering fully, interrupts their response, or even contradicts their fact-based evidence. Had there been some times he might have interrupted, they might have said something to, I don't know, I didn't follow specifically, but apparently if he's stating other than what they did. I'm going to tell you, I tend to think that I'd believe the scientists that maybe Trump is just speaking off the hip and not really aware of his facts. I'll be honest with you about that. But to suggest that he's been kept silent and giving us a false narrative because he's up there with Trump. He just questioned the man's credibility. And there may be a lot of questions about Fauci's credibility before we're done. In fact, I've seen a lot of material beginning to build against him in his past. And his apparently connections to the Wuhan lab before all of this. But for now, he is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And he's the one, Schumer said, let her rip. What's he said so far? Well, in the testimony so far, nothing really breaking. He says reopening early could have serious consequences. He warns of new coronavirus outbreaks as some of the states jump the checkpoints to reopen. He also says he getting a vaccine, it's a bridge too far to think there'll be a vaccine ready before the colleges reopen in the fall. He has not done what Schumer was hoping. He has not gone out there and said, Trump is leading us down a terrible path. We've got to save the nation now. Follow me. Now, I'm waiting for some of the questions to be pushed by the leftists because it's not a question for them. They and their leftist hound dogs, jackals inside the media can always phrase a question where it's an indictment. Not a question, sometimes a lecture and or a specific point being made to simply ambush someone. That's not real journalism, asking questions to get answers and things you need. Now, there are times, yeah, there are times you want to dig in with a question, maybe try to ambush them. I'm not going to deny that. In all my decades in the business, I've done that a few times, but what they do is consistently, constantly. And, of course, I got upset that Trump seemed to end the press conference early yesterday because they didn't like it. Well, I've seen him go on and on and on and to the point where he's looking at him, hey, anybody have any other questions? Any other questions? And they were complaining they're too long. So yesterday he cut it short. Too short. You know, there's a CNN poll out that shows most Americans, 54%, continue to say the U.S. government is doing a poor job preventing the spread of COVID-19, 54%. And they love that because it makes the government look bad. The government's failing. They can't get a handle on this. We're going to continue to have cases and cases. Yeah, we're going to have cases. And some of these states are still saying we're not going to really open up until maybe the end of May. Some are even talking mid-June. And, of course, Obama had to get involved. Obama had to come out and make his remarks about how we're doing or not doing. And he was using it strictly to attack President Trump. You know, in the past, presidents, once they leave, they largely do not comment on events underway at the time because they don't think it's appropriate to critique another president. Obama doesn't have any problem with it. And in fact, during a phone call the other day to members of the Obama alumni, whoever they are, he said, what we've seen from this president is not good. He said, it would be tough for any nation to deal with this. Here's some of his comments.
It has been an absolute chaotic disaster when that mindset of what's in it for me and to heck with everybody else, when that mindset is operationalized in our government.
Yeah, I'm going to admit that when that's operational in our government, that mindset, what's in it for me, because we've seen it with the Clintons, haven't we? We've seen it with Obama, haven't we? I mean, we're seeing more evidence come out now as the charges or transcripts are being released from closed-door meetings. But, of course, in this case, he's not talking about the Mueller-Flynn investigation and all that. No, no, no. We're talking about the virus. And he did acknowledge it'd be tough for any nation. But what he's saying is it's chaotic here because we're not getting any direction here. We're getting tribalism. We're getting a president looking out for me first. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican, Kentucky, said, I think President Obama should have kept his mouth shut. You know, we know he doesn't like this administration, what this is doing. That's understandable. But I think it's a little bit classless, frankly, to critique an administration that comes after you. He's talking about following you. You had your shot. You were there for 8 years. I think the tradition the Bush has set up of not critiquing the president who comes after you, following you, is a good tradition. Well, Obama's already fired out and made those remarks. Also made remarks about the DOJ dropping the Flynn investigation, which we're going to get into in the next segment. But what they're trying to do is put more attention and focus solely that you cannot be occupied with more than one thing at a time in your little mind as they see it in their world. So we either have to deal with the coronavirus or the continuing unveiling of the transcript showing the collusion behind the Obama administration to overthrow President Trump. Now, you're not capable of thinking of both of those things or following them both at the same time, are you? I mean, are you at the point that all I want to know, all I want to see, everything I'm interested in is the virus, that's it, I don't care about anything else? When it comes to your health, your family, I understand. But when it comes to understanding what's been happening and what's going on and where this nation could be in jeopardy, I know that most of you are probably the attitude, oh, I can take it, and I can look at that and other things too. I'm not locked down to simply one view, one opinion, and one approach, and I can only focus on one thing at a time. We're going to get in that also later in the next hour, because that's part of the leftist media drum they're beating now, that the White House seems more concerned about what's going to happen with these inquiries into the Mueller investigation, how it went down, and as all these papers are released, that they're simply going to focus more on that and ignore the coronavirus, ignore the deaths. In fact, one of them even claims this White House is more concerned about what they can get out of getting Flynn charges dismissed than they care about an American dying of the virus. You know that's not correct. And the one saying it knows it's not correct. But once it gets into the echo chamber and the leftists start listening and parroting it, that's what you're going to get everywhere. I'm looking at some of the latest coming through showing of Fauci's. He was questioned by Senator Elizabeth Warren, and this is a Senate hearing. And she was asking about, of course, the administration's response. He said, if you think that we have it completely under control, we don't. That's what Fauci said. He said, if you look at the dynamics of the outbreak, we're seeing a drop-off in hospitalizations and infections in some places, such as New York City, which has plateaued and is starting to come down. But in other parts of the country, we're still seeing spikes. I'm glad he brought up New York City, because while they're out there saying that Trump is failing and creating, quote, chaos in what we've been doing, are you aware what the New York governor was doing, Cuomo? Keep in mind, he said, we've got to have help, we've got to have more ventilators, we've got to have this, and the president sent one of our ships up to be off the harbor there so they could take on additional coronavirus patients or those that are overflowing hospitals, put normal patients on the hospital ship. It really didn't get used. The Samaritan Hospital set up to take care of those hospital patients or that needed in an overflow for other things didn't get used. The demand and claim that we're all short respirators and so forth obviously turned out to be false. And in fact, more were supplied, and they've got many they're not going to use now. But the New York governor had also had a rule, a law, a statement, I should say, a directive, a decision issued March 25th no resident of a nursing home shall be denied readmission or admission to the nursing home solely based on a confirmed or suspected diagnosis of COVID-19. In other words, they're saying if someone in a nursing home is suspected or confirmed COVID-19, you can't keep them from coming in. You can't keep them from being readmitted. You can't keep them from even walking through, I guess, and visiting. I don't know. And where have we seen so many deaths? In nursing homes. Well, the governor finally decided to change his policy on that. Now saying hospitals going forward cannot discharge a patient to a nursing home unless the patient tests negative for COVID-19. So we're not just going to send a person who is positive to a nursing home after a hospital visit, period. That sounds very reasonable and right and correct. Do I see the left calling Cuomo for his head saying, you sent these people to their death when you put them in a nursing home and you infected more in the nursing home? Do I see them saying that's a failing? Do I see Obama saying that's chaos? Do I see any of them saying, there we have a case where we're failing the American public? Do I see any of that from the left regarding Cuomo and what he's done? The answer is nope. By the way, there's a move underway because of the virus right now and how it's being handled in one particular state, the lockdown in that state. You got prosecutors in that state saying we're not going to prosecute the lockdown laws. And they're also talking about impeach the governor. Stand by, please.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
In the last segment, I was talking about what Governor Cuomo has done in the state of New York. Until just the other day, he was ordering hospitals, if you dismiss a COVID patient, send them right to a nursing home if they need to go to a nursing home. And, of course, accelerating the number of deaths, or at least threats of infection. And he since reversed that. And I said, where's the mainstream media criticizing him for that? No, they focused all their attention on the White House and President Trump. Now, if he had made such an order, I will guarantee you they would be after him. We are seeing a congressional candidate, New York Republican Assemblywoman, calling for an independent federal investigation into Cuomo's decision to send COVID-19 patients into nursing homes, saying it led to the death or threats to thousands. Good. At least somebody's looking at it. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf continues to crack down on his state, not letting it open up. This is Pennsylvania again. And for the critics who are saying that we need to open up, you got to open up, and they hold their protests, you know what he says? You're cowards. You're cowards because you're not complying with my directives. Well, the response from them is, we're not cowards. It's never wrong to lift the voice of concerned constituents, a state House Republican said. It is, in fact, the duty of every elected official to do it. This is not cowardice. It is patriotism. The left doesn't recognize patriotism. In the meantime, an increasing number of Pennsylvania district attorneys say, we're not going to prosecute any businesses that violate Governor Tom Wolf's orders from reopening. District attorney, one of them said, people are being smart, wearing masks, maintaining social distance, using criminal sanctions would not be helpful. Said prosecution only under extraordinary cases. Adding the criminal law is a blunt instrument not ordinarily used for enforcement of a governor's decree. As the governor made point of the other day down in Texas when a Dallas area judge put the salon operator in jail. And the governor withdrew his order. And then, of course, the Supreme Court said, you got to let her go. There is no order. But in Pennsylvania County, I should say in Pennsylvania, they continue to crack down, in particular some counties. The governor is extending a lockdown order for some of those counties to June 4. Till June 4. Well, now there's a petition underway. The petition to get him out of office. They have filed to hold an impeachment, saying that he is basically ruining our country, our state, that he has created an unacceptable situation, and his administration's threats against the counties and small business are an unacceptable declaration of war. At last report, they got something like 46,000 signatures so far, calling to impeach Governor Wolf and the Lieutenant Governor. Good. They've had it. They're not going to put up with it anymore. They're going to make their own decisions. Still need restraint. Still need to take precautions. I do not say throw all that out. And you have to do what you think you need to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Hans von Spakovsky will join us from the Heritage Foundation talking about Michael Flynn and the DOJ dropping the case. Judge is yet to rule on that, by the way. I wonder what Hans will have to say about that. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
My next guest with the Heritage Foundation, an expert on constitutional law, Hans von Spakovsky. Glad to have you back on board, sir.
Larry, thanks for having me on board.
Well, as we were going into the last break, I made note that the Flynn case by the DOJ has been dropped and saying we're done with it, but we're still waiting on the judge. First question to you, why do you think the judge hasn't acted so far?
Well, I'm sure that he is reviewing the motion to dismiss along with all of the other documents that have only recently been disclosed in the case. And, I think it takes a thorough review.
You don't take this delay as an indication that he might try to fight the dismissal?
No. There's a lot of documents that have been given to the court in this case, not only the motion to dismiss by the Department of Justice, but a lot of filings by Michael Flynn's new lawyer. So I have no doubt that that's all being looked at right now. And I do think we'll get an answer fairly quickly, but expecting an answer within just a couple of days, I don't think is realistic given how the federal courts work.
Well, give me an idea. I mean, give me this scenario. If the judge decides I don't think the DOJ should drop the case, well, who would prosecute it? I mean, they've already said we're done with it. What would happen then?
Well, see, but here's the problem. If we were in a situation where the trial had not yet been held, then the DOJ would not have filed a motion to dismiss and get the approval of the judge. They just would have dismissed their prosecution. They wouldn't need the permission of the judge to do that. But see, that's not the situation we're in. The situation we're in is that Flynn's prior lawyer entered a guilty plea. In other words, he already pleaded guilty to the charge, and we were at the stage where he was awaiting sentencing by the judge. And instead, what happened is Flynn hired a new lawyer. She came in and said, Mr. Flynn would like to withdraw his guilty plea. And then DOJ files a motion to dismiss, saying there really wasn't a case to begin with. So hopefully the judge will accept what DOJ has done. But the worst case scenario, Larry, is the judge saying, I deny the motion to dismiss. I deny the request of Flynn to withdraw his guilty plea, and I hereby sentence him to jail.
So he could just flat go ahead and sentence him at that point because, as you said, the trial has already been held. Now,
well, there wasn't a trial.
Based on his guilty plea. Exactly what did Flynn plead guilty of? Let's clarify that again.
Well, he pled guilty to lying to a federal official, which is against the law. But the whole problem with that is that the conversation in which he supposedly lied to the FBI agents, which was the interview that the FBI conducted with him when he was the incoming national security advisor in the White House, they didn't have any legitimate grounds to be there interviewing him. That's, in fact, what the motion dismissed as. There was no evidence at that time, and certainly not since then, there was no evidence that Flynn had broken any federal law. So it was not the FBI basically had no legitimate basis for going and interviewing him because they didn't have any evidence he'd broken the law. And under those circumstances, the case really should never have been brought, and that's what DOJ is saying right now.
A.G. Barr says they were basically laying a perjury trap. That's all they were doing. That was the only intent.
Yes, and I think he's right. That's particularly supported by, remember, one of the recent disclosures was notes summarizing a meeting that James Comey, Andrew McCabe, the number two guy, and Bill Priestap, who was the counterintelligence chief the FBI had, in which Bill Priestap says that they were discussing, well, what was the objective of the FBI going and interviewing him? Was it to get the truth or to try to get him to lie so that they could prosecute and get him fired?
Yeah, that's not prosecution. That's what do we do to ruin the guy and hurt Trump administration.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And a federal law enforcement agency should not be interfering in the political process by trying to get somebody fired.
Let me ask this. When they went over there, they were simply, hey, McCabe called and said, hey, would like some guys come over just talk to you? And Flynn said, sure. They bypassed White House counsel. Comey also acknowledged they did not follow the normal protocol to let White House counsel. They did not tell Flynn, we're here to investigate, pardon me, something you might have done wrong through the transition or anything. They didn't say anything. Now, the question I have is, if someone is stopped by police now and they're going to be charged, put arrested, they're going to give them the Miranda warning right away in case they use any say anything and then try to use against them. And
right.
Correct. So the point being that in this case, they're going to put that out there. In this case, I was understanding there's a statute, FedStat 1001, that they would read or tell someone they're talking to, we're going to question you. If you lie or you give us wrong information, that's a federal violation. Would that have been required, like a Miranda warning? Or in other words, if someone convicted of a crime can later get it thrown out and said, I never got Mirandized. Is it the same kind of thing here that they were supposed to tell him that we were going to be asking questions pertinent and you must answer correctly or face federal statute?
No, they didn't have to do that, but they did have to have, one, a legitimate basis for even requesting an interview, which they didn't have, and two, they needed to be honest in telling him why they were talking to him, and they didn't do that either. And look, the second half of this is just the FBI's misconduct.
Right.
But remember, the second half of this is the misconduct of the actual DOJ prosecutors who handled the case, who did two things very wrong. One, they got him to plead guilty by threatening to prosecute his son. And second, they did not turn over all of this exculpatory evidence, all of these recent disclosures to the defense, something that is not an option, that is required, not just by Justice Department procedures, but it's required by law. There's a Supreme Court case called the Brady case that says when prosecutors have any evidence of the innocence of the defense, they have to turn it over.
Sally Yates, a former deputy attorney general, had told Congress, "We went after Flynn because he had violated the Logan Act by having that conversation with the Russian ambassador, and then he's part of the transition team going over," and simply called, and this is after Obama put sanctions on, he called him and said, "Don't do anything tit for tat, we're coming in, give us some time to get our feet on the ground," type thing. But the Logan Act itself, you and I have talked about before, 200-plus-year-old criminal statute, only used a couple times in prosecution, not good. But the other point being that you point out in a piece that you and some of your colleagues wrote for the National Interest, numerous individuals have violated that act, some repeatedly, and they never got charged.
Yeah, that's right. Look, the last time they tried to convict somebody for it, it was in 1852, if you can believe that, and it was unsuccessful. There's never been a successful prosecution under the law, and there's been no attempts to enforce that law in almost 200 years for the very reason that every legal scholar, every lawyer knows it is an unconstitutional law. It violates the First Amendment to tell Americans they can't speak to foreign government officials. And in particular, the idea that you would enforce that statute against the incoming national security advisor for the administration when part of his duty and job is to talk to foreign officials, I mean, that is an absurd perversion of the law, and it shows you this was a politically motivated prosecution.
And you point out that some of those prominent individuals, Jesse Jackson, Danny Glover, Sean Penn, Dennis Rodman, we've known to gone to North Korea repeatedly, Ted Kennedy, John Kerry, they all at some point, while they're not representing our government, showed up in some other country dealing with the state, the head of state or whatever, and representing on their own themselves and America. Obviously, they can't sign treaties. Why wouldn't someone like Ted Kennedy or John Kerry being held accountable if we're going to go after Flynn?
Well, you and I both know why.
Oh, I know. I wasted my breath with that question. Go ahead.
you know why. But look, one of the things that people need to understand is, look, we now know that the whole claim about collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russian government was a complete hoax. And who would have been in one of the best positions to realize that the intelligence agencies were and the FBI counterintelligence people were acting in a bad way and were pursuing an investigation that was not valid? Why the new national security advisor who has access to all of our intelligence information? So frankly, getting him out of the way would clearly be an objective of the Obama administration and the people he had put in, like James Comey.
Well, very quickly, in the last 30 seconds for you, the connections to Obama, as we've seen so far.
Well, it's very interesting. Something that's just come out is that there was a meeting at the White House involving Obama and others, including Sally Yates, Clapper.
Do you think he was orchestrating it or acting as just a sounding board and just kind of nodding, saying, okay, do what you need to?
No, it sounds to me a little bit like he was orchestrating it because he didn't say to them, hey, you need to tell the Trump people that the Russians are trying to get in their campaign.
All right.
That's what he should have done, and he didn't do it.
Point made. Hans, thank you very much for your time and your insight. Always glad to have you on board.
Sure, thanks for having me.
You bet, we'll do it again. Hans von Spakovsky. Yep. Obama was told. We're going to take a break. When we come back, some of the reaction to that shooting in Georgia and others come up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Free as a breeze, not to me.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Yesterday, we put up at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, the very graphic video of that shooting that took place in Brunswick, Georgia. Two white men armed with shotguns and a black man that was supposedly jogging down the road, and they either cut him off or pulled in from somewhere. They wanted to stop him because there had been some burglaries in the area, and they just decided they're going to make a citizen's arrest. The older, the father, had been in law enforcement for at least a couple of years at some point, not now. And I told you that as two guys stopped me in front of me in a pickup, jump out with shotguns, and they're hollering, "Stop, we want to talk to you." I'm not going to stop either. But one of them got in the way of the guy, and so he's trying to push the shotgun away, and at that time the father and son are claiming, well, we were defending ourselves. And one of them shot the runner, jogger, as he was being identified, a black man. And nothing was done. No charges were filed for 74 days until that video was surfaced. It's available now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Comments coming in from our posting yesterday. Helen said, the young man has a right to run wherever he wants to. Doesn't look like he was doing anything wrong. Another response is, there's more to this story. I know these people would be going to jail, no doubt. This is from Scott. But the victim was not wearing jogging clothes. Why is he in the house first? Father and son called 911. They knew the victim. And this guy who was filming this, where'd he come from? Very quickly, the jogger had apparently walked into a house under construction, just kind of looked around, didn't take anything. And I don't know how you classify jogging apparel. I see people do it in blue jeans and running boots, not tennis shoes. And the guy that was filming it was a friend of the folks, and he just happened to be behind them, I guess, to document it. And then the video got released by a lawyer that knows the two guys and said, I thought it helped them. Well, I don't know it's helping because they got charged right away. Dateline L.A., L.A. County Jail, two groups of inmates. They heard, hey, you know, if they have COVID-19, you get out of the jail. So at least 30 of them started sharing one container of water and sniffing into a mask, passing around the same water. They were hoping to make somebody sick, that one or more of them might have the coronavirus and it might make somebody sick. None of them required critical care. They did get sick, some of them, about 30 of them. No one in that system has died. But, of course, they keep seeing from Rikers Island, New York City, to federal, state, local lockups, coast to coast, a lot of jails and prisons being thrown open because they want to let the people out so they don't get COVID-19. And I guess they were thinking, hey, if we get COVID-19, they'll get us out of here. I don't think they thought that went through very well to begin with. But here they were all trying to pass around the same water container and whatever we could do to increase our contact with each other. Yeah, I know. I know there are other ways they have contact in prison, but they were going to do this at this point. They actually thought that if they were infected, they would be let go. Now, supposedly those who have been released from the jails and so forth across the nation don't have COVID-19, so they're getting them out so they won't be exposed if it breaks out in the cells, in the jail cell. I don't get that still. I don't get that at all. And on top of that, like the other day down in Dallas, the judge is ordering a salon owner locked up, put her in jail in the midst of maybe the COVID crisis. That makes no sense, but again, that's the leftist attitude. We had another salon operator, actually a barbershop operator in Michigan. He continued to deny Governor Gretchen Whitmer's administration that he had to close up and continued to deny. He said something like 8 or 10 heavily armed police to my place to have me shut down one time. He said, I refused to do it. The 77-year-old said, I'm just trying to do my job. He said, I've been closed all this time, but I can't continue. I gotta reopen. I gotta get some business. I gotta make some money. And he says, by the way, when the hand-picked state agents came in to direct him to close up at that time, he said, I had a state policeman, the way he described him, I don't know if he means a state trooper, waiting for his time to get a haircut. He was already in the shop. He said it looked kind of embarrassing for everyone. The Attorney General, on behalf of the governor, had filed against him, claiming that he creates a clear public danger. He said, I tried to get unemployment, been denied three times. I haven't seen any of that stimulus money. I got to have something. Well, they were still trying to shut him down. The Attorney General lost his battle to shut him down. So he's open. He'd already said, the only way I'm going to leave is if they drag me out into the street or Jesus comes. Neither one has happened yet. That's in Michigan, one of those states where, again, they try to rule with an iron fist because they've got an opportunity here. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to get more into the fake news and how they spread their propaganda, and also more on, as President Trump calls, Obamagate. And one congressman says, there's a day of reckoning coming. There's a day of reckoning for the Obama administration and what happened with the Flynn case and others. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.